أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا وسدوا الخلل كان يشتري روز إن شاء الله زون كابس بتوين Can you keep our mobile phones on silent?
Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله. اللهم انت السلام.
Alhamdulillah, brothers. Inshallah, we are very blessed to have Maulana Hassanat here with us today, who will be delivering the hour after us a reminder. Inshallah, he'll be going through a few points regarding eventful occasions that happened during Ramadan in previous times. Be very, very beneficial. And besides, the more time you can spend in the masjid, the more likely it will be that we are able to preserve all the good deeds that we are amassing in the month of Ramadan. So I urge all brothers to stay behind, inshallah, and benefit from the talk delivered by Maulana Hassanat. Jazakumullah. If brothers can kindly come as close to the member as possible, Jazakumullah.
Brother, if you can come a bit closer, if you're sitting now, inshallah, try to come a bit closer. We have a bit of a gathering, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله قال تعالى في كتابه المجيد قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تواضع لله رفعه الله ومن تكبر وضعه الله أما بعد.
Dear respected brothers and elders, I greet you with a greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I was asked to give a little reminder a few days ago in regards to something which we can relate to in Ramadan. For the last couple of days, I was looking at topics, looking at things in which we can discuss. One of the key topics that we can try to implement into our life is the ittiba' sunnah, i.e. how to implement sunnah into our life. The ayat I read in front of you today was, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ. Tell the people, if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and he will forgive you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gives us a very, very, very easy cheat code for us. What cheat code does he give us? He gives us the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells us that here I give you an example. I give you a mithal, I give you a man. If you adopt his akhlaq, outward akhlaq, inner akhlaq, all of his attributes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, then you have got easy entrance into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us many, many examples of the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acted in his life. We have so many different examples. When we say sunnat, automatically we think of outer sunnat. We think of the libas. We think of the hat, for example. We think of the miswak. We think of the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have his jubbah from halfway from his knee to his ankle. We think of different sunnat. But there are two types of sunnat, brothers. There's number one sunnat type is outwardly sunnat. Like I gave to example, the beard, the miswak, all of these different. These are examples of the outward sunnahs. There are also examples of inner sunnahs. What are inner sunnahs? These are the ways in which the Prophet ﷺ used to act and deal with the people. And from these sunnahs today, I wanted to give a little reminder, maybe 10 to 15 minutes, in regards to the quality of humbleness. If we look into the life of the Prophet ﷺ, there are many, many attributes we can talk about today. Many examples we can give. The Prophet ﷺ was a kamil insan in the way he dealt with everyone was into it in his top category. There was not in which one way in which he would deal with anyone in a lower form or anything like this. So today I want to talk to you in regards to the humility of the Prophet ﷺ, the attribute of humbleness, and the opposite, which is takabbur, which is pridefulness. The Prophet ﷺ once gave a hadith and he said, مَنْ تَوَادَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever humbles himself for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate this person. What does it mean? What does it mean? Humble themselves, humility, what does it mean? Brothers, we as insan, we get a lot of favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us a lot of good things. One person might have the akhlaq, good akhlaq. One person might have good clothes, for example. One person might have a beautiful car. One person might have a beautiful house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a lot of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us these things, He doesn't want us to be boastful. He doesn't want us to think that, damn, I got this myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs, what does He instruct insan? He instructs insan to be humble. The way you walk should be simple. The way you should think is simple. The example, Mufti Taqi Uthmani rahimahullah ta'ala gives an example, and he says that there are 10 slaves in a room, and 10 of them, there are 10 of them slaves, their owner is in a different room, and there are 10 of them sitting together. So one slave has the quality of being very, very fast. When he's doing work, he's fast, very rapid. One slave is very strong. He's very strong. Whenever something has to get lifted up, they call this slave. There is another slave, he is a good thinker. Whenever there's a complex calm they need to do, they will call this slave. All of them, they're part of a team. So there is one slave on the corner of the room, and they say to him, all of the 9 other slaves are praising this slave, and they're saying, do you know what? This individual, he has everything we all have. He's strong, he's fast, he has good thinking, he is a kamil person. And now they're looking towards this slave, and the slave is looking angry. So they're asking, why are you angry? We are praising you. We are praising you, we are giving you ta'rif, we are saying that you are the best out of us. Why are you angry for? The 10th slave replies back and says that at the end of the day, all of us are slaves. All of us are slaves. You praising me doesn't matter to me. You praising me will not bring me any benefit. The only thing I want is the praise of my master. The only thing I want is the praise of my master. Slaves praise slaves all the time. You will praise me today, I will praise you tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was walking once on a marketplace, and a young boy comes behind him. It's a famous mashur story. Young boy comes up to him and says, this is the man for the last 30 to 40 years has been praying Isha with the wudu, has been praying Fajr with the wudu of Isha. So this young man, a young boy comes behind him and he says, Imam Abu Hanifa has been praying Fajr with the wudu of Isha, i.e. from Isha time to Fajr time, he has been doing ibadah. Now Imam Abu Hanifa is walking and he says, thinks to himself, huh? This is not true. This is not true. I am not praying Fajr with the wudu of my Isha. Look at the people, they're thinking good of me. Imam Abu Hanifa says to himself, now because the people are thinking of me like this, to be like this, I need to bring this amal into my life. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, for the next number of years, started to bring this amal where he actually became like this. What happens to us when someone praises us? Someone will praise me, I will think to myself, yes, I am that person. We stop believing to ourselves, damn, yes, we have become something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does instruct us that when we get praised, we think of our bad deeds. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that in reality, if someone was to actually think of the bad deeds someone does, if everyone here was to do muhasab of the bad things that we do in private, then we wouldn't have the shame to come out in public, let alone come and accept this praise. We all know sahibul bayti adra bima fi, the owner of the house knows what's best inside the house. We should not think to ourselves when someone praises us, we have become something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us that He does not. The ayat I was going to read to you, inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. He does not like people who do fakhr and who are overly haughty and very prideful. This is the quality of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mutakabbir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can have takabbur. He is the one who can have this pride. It does not suit for us to have this action. The reason I actually chose this topic today is the 7th of Ramadan, 8th Ramadan after Maghrib. Does anyone know what took place in the 10th of Ramadan? It's a famous Islamic event. Anyone? Rough estimates? Yes. Badr is close. Something else. Badr is obviously a big important one. There's another one which took place. Anyone know? Anyone can give a guess? Fath Makkah. Anyone know what Fath Makkah is? Fath Makkah is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned back to Makkah. Everyone knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah first. He was dismissed. We say it was a polite way, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed to leave and go to Medina. Lived in Medina Munawwara for a number of years. They cut the story short. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they tried to do Umrah. They wore ihram. They traveled to go Makkah. The Quraysh stopped them. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah took place. Inna fatahna laka fatah mubin. They were told to come back. There was a treaty in place. I.e. the Muslims and the non-Muslims, they had a treaty in place. For the Fatah Makkah to take place, the non-Muslims, they broke this treaty. So basically the Prophet ﷺ and the people, the Muslims, had a gateway into Makkah again. So this is called Fatah Makkah. This took place in 8th Hijri. 8th Hijri. So 8 years he was in Medina Munawwara. It is said that it took place in 10th or 11th or 10th to 20th of Ramadan. One of the dates it took place, that Fatah Makkah took place. Okay? I gave a little brief introduction to Fatah Makkah to those who of us who may not be well accustomed to this term. So Fatah Makkah took place, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is on a camel. He's going into Makkah. You can imagine now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken out of Medina. Yes? I give the example of brother here, yeah? Imagine I kick him out the masjid right now. Yeah? I kick him out the masjid, this is my masjid. I kick him out right now, you're not allowed to come back here. If you stay here, I'm going to taunt you, I'm going to hurt your family, I'm going to do everything to you. Yes? Imagine now, Bai comes back with a full army, and I'm here. What will Bai do to me? What will he do? You retaliate, right? You'll say, you kicked me out from here, you did so and so, right? This is the person you kicked me out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kicked out. He returned back to Makkah. And imagine this hadith. I'll read the hadith in front of you here. Is that in Bukhari Sharif, it is said that his head was lowered out of humility to such an extent that his blessed beard was touching the saddle. His blessed beard was touching the saddle. He was crying. And he was like this, on the camel like this, of humility and humbleness. Can you imagine? These are the same people who, when he was in Makkah Mukarramah, next to the Kaaba, they come and they put intestine on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now he's come back with such an army. Abu Sufyan was not Muslim at the time, he became a Muslim after Fatah Makkah. Abu Sufyan says that this is an army that we have never seen. They did not even want to fight back to the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ was come. Imagine if it was me or you, we'll come back in such a way,
kill everyone here. We our head will be here. Who's going to say anything? We've come back with such an army. The Prophet ﷺ was the opposite. The Prophet ﷺ was low and humble and humiliating. Humility. He was reading Surah Fat. He was reading different surah. So why am I mentioning this story, brother? This is the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, to be humble in his nature. It's the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in which he was walking in the marketplace. A woman came by and held the Prophet ﷺ like this and requested something from him. Imagine this. Imagine a king of our time walking in the marketplace and someone and goes and grabs the king. Is this even possible? It's not even possible. So imagine the Prophet ﷺ is walking in the market. Someone grabs him and one of the buttons or something came off. This is how humble the Prophet ﷺ was. He was for everybody. It is mentioned in regards to the humility that the example is given of a jug. What example is the jug? The example of the jug. What is this example? When you have water in a jug, yes, for it to pour water into the glass, what does it have to do?
Bend it.
He has to lower himself, right? The jug has to lower his head. If the jug says no, I'm not going to lower myself. Is anyone going to get any water from the jug? No one's going to get any water from the jug. This is the example for us, brothers, that if we want to give faida to anyone, we want to be beneficial to anyone, sometimes we need to lower ourselves. We have to lower ourselves. This is a thing, I'm not going to takabbur, but has a Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi wrote this kitab called Ummul Amrad. In Arabic, Ummul Amrad, the mother of all diseases. He wrote this book called The Mother of All Diseases, and what was he talking about? Takabbur. The same action, the same attribute which took shaitan out of Jannah, what was it? Takabbur. I'm not going to go bow down to Adam alayhi salam. I am from fire, he is from clay, I am better than him. So this is a very deadly, deadly action, quality to have. I mentioned the name, Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, the writer of Fadail al-Amal, the one in which our Tablighi we read from this Fadail al-Amal. So Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi is the author of this book. Yes? So we may, young brothers might not know his name here, but he is, that's Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, that's his name. When Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi came to our Darul Uloom Bari in 1980, before I was born, there was a massive, the whole UK, there was a massive conference going on. You know, we have Ijtimaz, we have all of these big events. And there was a massive conference going on in Darul Uloom Bari. When this event was taking place, a poster was made under the title, there was big lakab was given to Hazrat Sheikh, Sheikhul Hadith, Allama, all of this title was given under Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. So someone showed this poster to Hazrat Sheikh, and they showed, this is the poster for today, Hazrat. So Hazrat replied back to him and said, have you gone crazy? Why have you given me so much titles for? You might as well add Rabbu Samawati wal Ard. As a joke, he said this. You might as well add that I'm the Lord of all heaven. If you're going to big me up this much, you might as well do this. Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi instructed them, take all away the titles, and you call me merely by Maulana or something. This was the quality of our pious people. I gave you the story of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the story of Imam Abu Hanifa, the story of Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. This is an attribute that we need to adopt, brothers. We need to adopt it. Remember one thing, Allah dene wala lene wala hai. Allah dene wala lene wala hai. Today we might have fakhr over the fact that we have a big car, big job. Everyone we tend to meet nowadays, the first question they ask you is, what's your job? We might have a good job, we might have a good salary. I was meeting someone the other day, he didn't even ask me for my name, how much you're earning? And I go, come on, brother, oh God. I go, when I was in Darul Uloom studying, the first question is, what are you going to do after you finish? How are you going to earn money? Come on. So what was I saying? Yes, Allah dene wala lene wala. Allah the one who gives and he takes. Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, on one occasion in a battle, he lost one of his legs. He had four children, one of his four children had gone. You can imagine. One battle, leg's gone, one of his legs is gone, his children, one of the four children is gone as well. You can imagine how we are gonna be in that situation when, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Imagine if one of our children was to die, one of our legs is also gone. We'll be very distraught. So at night time, someone, as another senior sahaba, goes and sees him, and he's making dua. He says, Ilahi, oh my Lord, you gave me two legs and you gave me four children. You are the one who gave and you are the one who takes. You decided to take it, I am happy with your content. You left me free and you still left me with one leg and two arms.
This is the thingy of the attribute I'm trying to say is Allah lene wala hai, dene wala hai. And before we finish, there's 5 more minutes, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran ayat, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَوْدِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Furqan, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, he gives the title Ibadu Rahman. I will explain Ibadu Rahman afterwards. But he said the slaves of Ar-Rahman, who are they? He gives 13 attributes. So he said, who are the slaves of Ar-Rahman? He gives the first one here, أَلَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَوْدِ هَوْنًا. Those people who walk on the earth with humility. They walk with not thinking of them to be big. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When a jahil speaks to them, he speaks in a nice way in return. In another place of the Quran, in Surah Luqman, Luqman alayhi salam is a famous individual mentioned in the Quran. He gives his son advices, and these advices are noted in the Quran. They are written down. So one of the advices he gives to his son is, وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْعَوْدِ مَرْحَا. And don't walk on this earth. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْعَوْدِ مَرْحَا. And don't walk with this earth with a haughty and prideful nature. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this attribute, does not like it, the attribute. How do we get rid of this attribute now? How do we get rid of this thing, this poisonous disease of takabbur from our hearts? If someone was to praise us, we automatically think of our bad deeds. We automatically think of our bad deeds. X person is sitting here, I stand up and I say that this person is so-and-so, hafiz Quran, this. We should automatically think that I am doing this wrong. Allah knows, but these people do not know. Allah is the one who hides it. Allah is the one who hides it. Yes? This is number one we think about. When someone praises us, in a hadith, it's mentioned that you throw dust on their face. You throw dust on them. So in the commentator of this hadith says, some people take this hadith to think of it as a metaphorical statement, i.e., don't listen to them, but it is actually a hadith in which you should throw dust on their face. Why do you throw dust on their face? Because when someone praises you, they're ruining your good deeds. They're ruining your good deeds. They're making you think that you're better than who you are. So this is very, you have to be very, 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 very careful in regards to this. Qari Siddiq Banwi, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that if you want fruit, you go to people who sell fruit. My Urdu is not that good, but he said that if you need fruits, then you go to people who have fruits. Yes? If you want perfume, you go to people who have perfume. Or agar Allah chahiye to Allah walo ke paas jana hai. What does it mean? If we want to have attributes like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to go and stay in durus, in weekly durus, in monthly durus, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us amal, to act, give us the ability to act upon what has been said. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he raises us with humility. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives us death with humbleness and humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away takabbur at the time of death, before death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from the fire of Jahannam. Because in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that a person who has an ounce of takabbur, he will not enter Jannah. A person who has an ounce of takabbur will not enter Jannah. So this is something that we make dua for regularly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the amal, ability to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
I was there from 2015 to 2023.
2015?
Yeah.